Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Below the Dot Podcast, where we recap and discuss a new episode of Degrassi the Next Generation from the Degrassi Black Hole. Every Throwback Thursday, I mess that up, but neither here nor there. I'm your co-host, Terry McGregor.
And I'm your other host, Chris Sharp.
And today we are recapping a two-part episode, season 5, episodes 7 and 8, titled Turned Out. But before we do that, we'll get into some trivia for Terry.
Yes, we will. I just want to circle back. My mom was kind enough to tell me that, because she listens to the podcast, she was like, how did you not know about cuticle oil? And also Vaseline, if you need to. I want to say Terry actually did share that on the podcast, but I, you know, for my mom who listens to the podcast, why didn't you tell me this before? Like, what kind of mother are you to not tell your daughter about cuticle oil? It says a lot about your parenting. I'll make sure that my daughter knows about cuticle oil.
I can't with you.
This internet be playing all day, so we'll see if they play with us during this episode, but hopefully not.
Yeah.
So it's a two-part episode, which means we get double the questions, and by that I just mean we have 6 questions this week.
Cool.
What movie was JT supposed to catch with Toby?
Is it something... Clown. Dead Clown.
Yes. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, so the movie was Clown Academy, and if you've been watching, I, as you know, went back in my Twitter days, I used to be really into the Degrassi No Context Twitter, and one of the things that I noticed is that there's an ongoing kind of background plot, not plot, but they always, when they go to the movies, it's typically a Clown Academy movie. It's referenced a lot throughout the series. This, along with West Drive and, of course, Heather Sinclair, are little things that just happen in the background and kind of come up a lot. They're talking about doing an acting gig. It's going to be, I'm going to be on West Drive. This actor, this actress from West Drive. When we finally get someone from West Drive on the show in a few seasons, that comes up then. And so this is Clown Academy. It comes up a lot throughout the series. I think there might be some other movie that they reference, or it might have just been Clown Academy. But if you do remember, if it is something besides Clown Academy, feel free to send us a message. I really get excited when we get messages from you guys. I was out somewhere with my partner, and he was like, you're not paying attention. I did take a moment, and I was like, look, one of our fans messaged us, and I need them to know that they are important, and I need to hurry up and just message them back, and I will put my phone away. You're absolutely right. I shouldn't be on my phone right now, but I want our fans to know that I value their input. So, if you do remember the other background stuff that goes on, like, aside from Clown Academy and West Drive, please feel free to send us a message, and I will be really excited to answer it.
That is always fun to notice those little things.
Yes. All right, so my second question, what does the sign outside the school say in the first part of the episode?
Oh my god, I'm not gonna get this. What the heck is it? Whatever it takes?
It's about a sports team.
It's a basketball? The basketball team?
See, Degrassi's always coming up with new sports teams with no continuity. It says, congratulations, junior boys water polo team. Where do they even have a pool?
Girl, and they were literally just showing us Jimmy coaching basketball last week.
Right. Like, what are y'all doing? And it makes sense that a school would have a lot of sports teams. Mm-hmm. But also, I think we talk about how small Degrassi is. So, which one is it? Is it a small school? How do we have so many teams? Like, what's happening here?
Yeah, because you already don't have enough teachers. So, who is coaching these teams? Because Mr. Armstrong is teaching, like, math and English.
The kids, girl. That's why they have Paige. She's running Spirit Squad. And she's allowed to kick people off whenever she so pleases. Because, so, no.
What it means is then Degrassi has all these different sports teams when the students decide they want a new team.
Because... Yes. It makes no sense. Who's sponsoring it? Who's paying for their uniforms? Is it Joey Jeremiah? Is Miss Kwan coaching it? I don't know. She doesn't really have a team to coach, so I guess that's she could.
True. She got some extra bandwidth.
I know Miss Hatzlaff is busy because isn't she principal now? So.
Mm-hmm. Didn't make a stuff up. That is funny.
All right. So. Third question, what does What was JT's grandmother doing at 6 a.m.?
Vacuuming.
There we go. Yes, she was.
Vacuuming at 6 a.m. is actually absurd, but go on.
It's pretty disrespectful, but I feel like it's a common thing. I mean, what else are you going to do? If you're old and you're up at 6 a.m., right. I would probably vacuum if I were up and alert. How much does rent cost?
Oh, is it $750 or $800?
It's $750.
Yes. Dirt cheap.
What time does JT's show come on?
If it's a kid's show, was it 9 a.m.?
Yeah, 3 p.m.
3 p.m. Oh, after school.
What was for dinner in the Simpson-Nelson household?
Was it meatless meatloaf?
Yes, no. Meatless Meatloaf Monday. I love alliteration. All right, I think we had 50% because you did not get Clown Academy. You did not get the sign. You got vacuuming. You did not get the time for his show. You did get rent and you got meatloaf. 50%, congratulations.
Okay, halfway thank there. You. Consistent in what I know.
No. What I know is like, I'm consistent. And it was like, no, we don't get a consistent score.
I'm consistent according to my my own standards.
Honestly, these questions were very hard. I think my goal in these questions was asking questions that didn't give away what happened in the episode, which is, I don't always do that. I don't always pay attention to that. So these were very hard. Like, why would you be looking at the sign in the front of the school?
Yeah, I should know better, though, because I know that there's going to be trivia questions and I'm always, like, paying attention to the most random things.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'll do better in the future.
No, maybe I'll be nicer. I'll be more consistent.
We'll spice it up. We got any tidbits?
The only one I do have to share, because I don't think I shared this on the podcast last week. I think it was after we stopped recording, is that in a deleted scene, I didn't even realize we met JT's grandmother. Like, you could have told me she was never on the show and I would have believed you. But there was a deleted scene about the cops coming to the door to get JT, which I guess they never do because they just, we'll get there when we get there, but they don't come knocking on the door. But apparently in a deleted scene, they came knocking on the door and in whatever world they questioned her and they didn't ask to search her house or didn't ask where JT was. And she just got to tell them that he didn't steal. So I don't know how that works, but.
And that is why they deleted it.
Because that makes no sense. But that was one deleted scene. I actually don't recall if we ever see the grandmother again. So one of y'all could tell me if we do.
I did have a trigger warning this week, or a content warning, for substance use and suicidal ideation in this episode. As I always like to say, just want you guys to be aware so you can take care. This episode does deal with serious topics. I want to say Terry sometimes does a content warning. Is it me? Is it me who does it? We haven't done one in so long. I don't even know what the hell we said. It's been a minute.
Yeah, I would normally intro you into it and then you'd give your little speech, but it really has been so long.
I know, they've been really light these days, and so now we're really getting into it, so let's go ahead and get started.
Right,
so this is a two-part episode, so I have to divided my recap into, first, as I have done kind of in the past, sometimes it varies, we'll do episode 1 part B, episode 1 part A, episode 2 part B, and episode 1 part A, the plots. They actually have it really nicely divided in that you can actually tell that there's two different plots going on versus sometimes when it's meshed, such as like in the Joey or the Jeremiah household one where it's like, I don't even know who the hell is what during this. But yes, so we made it 3.5 minutes into this episode without a hint at a B plot, but it does exist and we are here. I started to think that we were just going to focus on Liberty and JT's storyline in this whole episode, which would have made sense. It's kind of a big deal, but where would be the justice in that? No, no, my listeners and friends, Emma Nelson is back in our lives as well as Manny, and Craig's nasty ass. Craig's a nasty one, not Manny. Y'all know how I feel about him. I don't care what you say. It is metaphorically fuck Craig Manning for me from this day and forward. Manny and Craig are going to town at each other's throats at the dot when Emma walks in to interrupt them before Craig plants another seed. Yes. You see what I did there? You see what I did?
I can't.
Emma jokes that she'd tell them to get a room, but Manny's room is her room, so she's like, nah, nope, I'm good. Although, what about Craig's room?
Right. Or his garage.
You know, he don't got no supervision. Oh, right. Is the garage not available?
Right. He never does. Joey is out here dating.
Right. So Manny plans to see a band with Craig that evening, and they give Emma the old pity invite, and she's like, thanks, but no thanks. I am not trying to be a third wheel, and I have really important plans to study that evening. All alone and desperate for a replacement friend, Emma finds herself signing up for the relay race to raise money for cancer, only to find out that Peter is number one on the sign-up list. Sensing a vulnerable victim, as usual, Peter emerges from the shadows to flirt with Emma, and she weakly opposes his advances. Just want to throw this out there. This is how Rick was able to dig his claws into Terry, if you guys don't remember. Terry was alone, she was feeling like a tag-along friend, and Rick seized the opportunity. So the conclusion here, I guess, is don't expect your friends to wait for you while you're off getting your toes rubbed. Did anyone get their toes rubbed in this episode? Did I just say that?
I don't know. I was trying to figure out where it came from, but you go off.
I don't think anyone's toes got rubbed. Rob, this is not a Dan Schneider production, okay? And right. Yeah, I said it.
That part.
And his lawyer's going to come for me if I have more than 70 listeners. We. Ahem. Sensing this, perhaps, Manny makes an attempt to hook Emma up with that little curly hair boy who tried shitting all over Jimmy a few episodes ago. I call him Derek.
That's his name.
I'm trying to think if his name is Derek, because sometimes I don't know what I call these people. To be honest, I'm gonna let you know, I don't care about Derek.
Right.
I don't care what his last name is, his first name is. I don't want to know where he goes. I am not interested in his character development to any such degree. But here we are. Anyway, I can't stand him. In the middle of meeting Derek, Peter pops his head through the window and he tries to get Emma's attention. Emma tries to ignore him, and instead she's like, you know what? Let's go out, Derek, this Friday. We do a lot of shitting on Emma for dating Peter after what he did to Manny, but she did make an attempt to resist his advances. I think there are a lot of valid criticisms of Emma, but she did try. I don't know. Really grasping the straws here.
Yeah, I mean, also, I feel like, just like how you said Terry ended up in that situation, it's such a good point, because if I were Emma, she did try, but I also would be so annoyed if y'all were just trying to throw the first single person that you remotely knew in my face so I could date them. Like, again, she doesn't have to date Peter, but the pity, like, date and stuff like that is actually very annoying. And she tried, but I would have been like, actually leave me out of this matchmaking game.
Yeah, he's kind of all right. He's not, he wasn't at all. Anyway, can't take no for an answer. Peter finds Emma the next day, and he has the audacity to try to justify what he did. And he says that Manny was drunk and asked him to do it while he was sober. Let's not forget that Peter was sober.
Right.
And Emma rightfully says, okay, but then why did you email it to your friends? Like, even if we were going to say that it was Manny's fault, why did you then email it to your friends? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, that's the thing, because he tried to say she was drunk and persuasive, which makes absolutely no sense, because what's the first thing you said in that sentence is that she was drunk. So anything that she said after that, you should have known, no. But here we are.
And the only way is that you'd be off the hook for recording her if you had also been drinking, but you had not been drinking. So I could see if you had the questionable judgment, okay, I'll record it, whatever. But then you did it. And even if you did it when she was drunk, but then why did you share it? Let's talk about it.
Right. Such nasty behavior. Like, you literally were spreading, again, revenge porn, and you over here trying to talk to her best friend, but okay.
Right. So he doesn't take accountability, but instead he continues to lay it on thick, and Emma moves away, and he sits next to her again. He told us not to take no for an answer, and he is showing us. Emma goes on a date with... So I knew I messed this boy's name up because I call him in my recap Danny.
Danny.
I'm gonna keep it going. So she goes on a date with Danny, And they're not exactly hitting things off. Emma does seem to make it work, but then Danny tells Emma that the fresh venison is delicious. And Emma is a vegetarian, as she shares with him. Gonna give Emma some more props today, because I really appreciate her honesty. Because at this point, she realizes she and Derek are perhaps not a cosmic pairing. And so she says to him,
Derek, listen, I had a great time. Well, an okay time. Actually, I had a pretty lame time, so let's just put what we're behind. Sorry.
Emma leaves the date. I love this energy. I think that a lot of y'all put up with trash men in hopes that it'll get better, and it doesn't have to be that. So, like, dating is supposed to be fun. She's, what, 16 or something? And she said, I'm not going to keep wasting my time in this. Let's just stop.
Yeah. Being honest is the best part. And I'm sure, was this before? It had to be after Peter told her about the movie. So her deciding to take what's-the-name to the mall was kind of like, well, if it works out, then I won't go to the movies. But if it doesn't, then homeboy will be there and I can go to the movies. So she was already trying to double dip. But appreciate the honesty, because why would you go on a second date or even continue it after that conversation?
And she tried again. I think sometimes people get caught in giving people more chances, and first dates are really awkward, so I'm not going to knock anyone for giving someone a first chance or a second chance, but I'm also not going to knock someone for saying, let's stop while we're ahead. Either way is fine, especially when you're in high school and you're supposed to be having a good time. You don't have to try to find your soulmate and dig deeper when you are in high school. It's fine. Yeah. And Emma just that. And I think you kind of answered this, but I did have a question where I was just going to say, do you think that Emma was wrong for the way that she ended things with Derek?
No, I wish that at that age I could be that honest about stuff like that, honestly.
I agree. He did look a little hurt, but I think it would have been more hurtful to lead him on if she knew that she wasn't interested.
Are they both grade 10? Or is he younger?
No, he's a year younger.
Okay, that's also no thank you.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, that's gross. It's not gross at all, and it's perfectly fine. But for me personally, gross. I talked to some boy who was a year behind me for like 3 days, and it was just weird. I didn't like it.
Yeah, and sure we already know that men are developed slowly in comparison to women, so you dating younger just... Right. It's not everybody's, what am I trying to say? Because I know it works for some people, but it's not everyone's cup of tea and it's not meant for everybody. You have to be very specific to be able to date a younger guy and them be good.
Yeah, and I'm not knocking. Again, I think as an older adult, I mean, men are men. So if you listen to me enough, you know I don't like men. But it's like I see some younger guys and I'm like, wow, I feel like there have been some changes and some evolvement, and you guys seem a little bit smarter in these areas than men of like older generations, and that's really nice. And I'm not sitting here saying that I'm robbing cradles. I'm not. What is it? What is it? Larsa Pippen, who they're all mad at?
Oh yes, bitch, that one. Yes, you're no Larsa Pippen.
I'm talking about like maybe like 2 to 3 years younger here, but still, at the same point, when I was in high school, I was not, as a junior, I was not interested in sophomores.
Right.
Minus that one that I did give a chance to. And honestly, it didn't click just in general, which was fine. But I was going to say that and I may have told the story before, but I can't remember. In college, I had been playing indoor soccer, which is just weird because what the hell was I ever doing playing indoor soccer?
That's funny.
If you know me, you're not coordinated. Anyway, he asked me on a date via like Facebook chat, and I just straight up told him, I think we're friends and I'm not interested. And we never talked again after that time.
Damn.
And all my friends were like, that was really mean. You should have given him a chance. But I knew him as friends and I knew I wasn't interested. So why would I waste our time?
Yeah. You go, bitch. Yeah. The more straightforward, the earlier on in your life, the better. You waste so much less time, I can imagine.
Yeah. But a lot of my friends at the time were really into, like, going out with guys just to get a free meal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... again, if you know me, I don't like being around men. So a free meal, I don't care what you're buying me. I don't appreciate your company.
You can't even fake it. Yeah, I feel that. That's real.
So as we know, Emma does run into Peter at the movie, or she knew he was going to be there, and they are seeing Clown Academy. She claims that she's been waiting to see the movie, and she tries to set some boundaries between the two of them. She's like, look, don't hold my hand, but I'm here. And we're going to recap our plot A of episode one. Liberty finally comes clean to Miss Sauvé at the beginning of the episode with JT. Liberty affirms that she wants to carry the baby to terms, but regarding afterward, we'll never find out what she had planned because JT cuts her off and he says, adoption. Just kidding, we do find out how she feels, just not in this moment. But, like, what were you planning on doing with a baby who you can't even tell your parents about?
Girl, and why did it take for y'all to see the school counselor to realize you need to go to a doctor before you can do literally anything else?
Girl. Like,
please be so for real.
I mean, I don't know about Canadian laws, but I want to know what you thought you were going to do with the 6-month-old fetus. Like, I want to carry this baby to term. Good, because that was your option.
That's right. That is the option. And if you're lucky, the baby is healthy because you've never checked on it, you know?
Anyway, so perhaps if the Degrassi writers didn't throw our girl in the background, we would know more about how this is impacting her, but we don't. So instead, all we see is Liberty, a bitchy teen who tears down everyone within her path and has zero plans. Liberty tells JT that she is not in this with him and she doesn't want to see an adoption agency. Do they have safe havens in Canada, though? Because, like, maybe she was just going to throw the baby in one of them bins. Let me look it up.
That's a good point. I feel like they would. Because they have actual health care for all, right?
Girl, I was talking to this woman today whose family is from Canada, and she told me that one of her family members was telling her how she had just a year paid maternity leave.
A year? Wow.
Right?
We're so behind.
Okay. In Canada, safe haven laws, Canada. Baby abandonment laws in Canada. This is from, okay, questionable website. I'm not really sure. I'm going to read what I'm writing, and I'll tell you, read what I am reading, and I'll let you guys know this is from a questionable website. It's CanadianCRC.com, so who knows, didn't have time to look into it, but allegedly, baby abandonment, Canada statistics, why Canada doesn't need a safe haven. Dang, they just shat all over us down here.
All over it.
In Canada, we have seen infrequent cases of parents abandoning their newborn children, usually mothers. Baby abandonment laws elsewhere are commonly referred to as safe haven laws, baby Moses laws, or in Europe, hatchery laws. That's all it says. So I guess people don't abandon their babies in Canada because they can do what they need to do with them?
Yeah, I guess, you know, when you have some health care, I guess it makes a big difference.
Oh, and in 2021, December, a radio reported that they had their first safe surrender baby box comes to Canada.
Oh, wow.
So maybe this is, maybe like safe havens are what you do when you don't allow people access to health care. So the only thing that they can do is leave them at a fire station once they accidentally show up.
Wow. We learned something new today that we already knew.
This is wild because now I'm definitely going to look into this. I guess infant safe surrender site now running in rural Manitoba. So it sounds like they kind of have them, but they might not have the same need. I could be mistaken, and I'm just making a really big assumption based off of a couple random Google websites. I will do better and look into this unless one of our great listeners hops in our inbox and messages us. Anyway, so who knows what the hell the girl of Liberty was going to do, because where was she going to drop the baby? Not even a fire station. One thing my mama's Wi-Fi is going to do is play.
That shit was literally moving in slow motion. You're actually moving in real time now, though.
Good. All right, so dialing it back, basically, who knows what the hell Liberty was going to do with her baby, because it sounds like safe havens are not a thing like they are in the United States, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, where was I in this? Anyway, teens are illogical, and it was just really difficult to watch. Somehow JT ended up as the host of a children's show. Who knows when this happened? And you might be just as surprised as I am to hear this, because this came up completely out of the woodwork. Does anyone remember him mentioning this leading up to this episode?
Right. And he's not even getting paid for it. That's what I'm saying.
And we've been watching for key details.
Right.
Right. I mean, and honestly, it makes sense that he would do it, because exposure, this is the time to get exposed, see if you really like it. Honestly, it's a good way to, like, build your way into doing things that you like if you're really into acting. I'm not even knocking him for it.
Mm-hmm.
But where did it come from? Where did you go? Something about Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah, I feel like they threw that in there just so it looked like he got mad jobs.
Do you remember that song?
Unfortunately.
Did you guys have to learn to dance that song?
No, but it would be, the first time I heard it was at like a sixth grade dance, and I remember being like, what?
Same. I think we learned how to do the steps to that song.
That's hilarious.
Do I remember it? No. But
that's,
we did
the
learn
white
it
people's
in
electric
class,
slide.
Girl. Yes, it is. Where was I? They started doing that. I was like, I felt it. And they weren't playing the electric slide, but they were playing something else. And I was in Jamaica. And I was like, I feel the electric slide dance coming to this song. And
oh,
let
I'm
me
sure.
tell you. And them Jamaicans brought that out. And I was like, I appreciate that this transcends black
yes.
groups.
Universal.
Here we are in Jamaica doing the electric slide to, I have no idea what song it was, but not the electric slide. Apparently it's a real big one that comes up for Poison.
Oh, that's funny.
I have seen some Jamaicans doing it in the UK on this. I follow someone from Teen Mom.
Teen
and her
Mom.
Dad is half Jamaican.
I'm
Please don't
screaming.
Judge me.
I'm screaming.
Back on subject, because y'all don't care about the Cotton Eye Joe or the electric slide.
Teen
Toby
Mom.
Shows up to the filming, and we learn that JT is working quite a bit. He works at the pharmacy, and he does a children's show, all in addition to going to school. I stand by my original stance that JT sucks, but I am willing to admit that he has clearly stepped things up so that he can financially support a baby with Liberty in ways which a lot of teens would not do.
Yeah. Especially
one,
after they broke up.
Right. And let's be honest. Has Liberty gotten a job? Very
yeah.
interesting.
It makes no sense.
You can't tell your parents. You haven't been to a doctor. You don't have a job. And I'm not knocking her for being a teen. Mm-hmm. I am knocking her for shit-talking JT, who is making the steps, even though he don't even want to keep this baby. He's like, get rid of this. Come on, girl. We missed the deadline to a... Anyway.
Yeah. No, it's absurd.
So. Anyway, and it's also a side that we don't really get to see of JT. We often see a lot of his silliness, which is really good for hosting a show with kids. And but when we see his immaturity, but seeing him actually step up and get a job and be mature and responsible, it's a nice twist.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a broken clock can be right twice a day. JT tells Toby that adoption is the only thing that makes sense for both of them. So, question, disclaimer, I guess. I just want to say that I don't know a lot about adoption, aside from Caitlin and Tyler's storyline on 16 and Pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and the TikToks, which compared adoption to child trafficking, which are two polar opposite standpoints.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I'm not going to talk about what, adoption, their idea, because if you don't know shit about something, you should just be quiet. So, I will say that, Liberty is not in a super supportive place right now,
mm-hmm.
which would make it really difficult for her to care for a child. She hasn't told her parents. She doesn't have a job. We're going to learn that JT doesn't make a lot of money. So I know that there's a lot of thoughts to be had on adoption. If she were more supported, if her parents knew, then I think we'd have a different case right ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's it doesn't really make sense for you guys to raise a child right now. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, not saying that you couldn't, but it sounds like it would be very difficult.
Yeah. just based on their circumstances and, again, the fact that she was just avoiding it, hoping that it'll go away, that it's just like now you're at a point where you can't make a lot of decisions on it. So you really only have those two options.
Right.
But, yeah, again, if you can't even tell your parents and you don't have a job because you're just used to having or being, like, so smart that you just do school and, like, extracurriculars, what's the plan? Like, she is acting like JT is being pushy about this when he's really just trying to make a plan.
Yes, he's being quite logical.
Right.
And he's saying, like, we should do adoption. Okay, we're not going to do adoption. Okay, I need to get a job. I need, mm-hmm. We need to get a place to move into. I need to make sure that I can be able to provide for you and this child, because who else is going to pay these bills? So I think he's being very logical. And again, apparently there's a lot of nuances between about adoption that, mm-hmm. I don't know about. So I'm, whatever. In the case of this show, JT ain't wrong.
No. And no one's in a position to raise a child. Like, I actually don't care how long I've known each other, how much y'all love each other. Based on these circumstances right here that Liberty and JT have, y'all have no business trying to bring, mm-hmm. a child into this world.
Mm-hmm. So, I think we're on the same page. Mm-hmm. And if anyone has any other opposing views, send us a message. I'd love to read it. Has anyone been wondering where Jay has sauntered off to now that Spinner is in his redemption arc? Whose ear will our little demon whisper into next? Well, you're about to find out. JT is at job number 2 and Jay shows up to steal some Advil and strike up a conversation about why JT is working so much these days. Jay tells JT that if he needs some money, he should talk to him because, boy, does he have a business proposition for JT. It's giving MLM, but it's Jay, so you know it couldn't be that benign.
That's funny. I mean, yeah, because I guess since he's not in school, he has all the time in the world to get into this type of shit.
So much. So much. So the next morning, Toby finds JT asleep on a bench, and we learn that JT has yet to tell his grandmother about the baby. He gives Liberty some ginger tea, proposing adoption again, and Liberty invites JT to her ultrasound appointment. During media immersion class, Mr. Simpson puts JT all the way on blast and shares JT's TV show with the class. It is really cute, and of course the girls are impressed, and Manny and Emma cannot stop smiling at JT, and Liberty also takes notice. JT and Liberty are at her ultrasound appointment, and JT looks at the screen and appears shocked. But I did not see the shit in that ultrasound. Like, did you?
No, my note is literally like, there was nothing on that ultrasound.
I definitely dialed it back, and I was like, I usually don't see anything, but I really don't see anything here.
Right. And you know, like, at this point in time, like, it's 3D, like, it's a lot more visual, but, like, there was nothing on that screen, and they didn't even try to make it look like there was.
Right. So anyway, and I was joking about, what the fuck? Anyway, I said, I thought I put my thing on Do Not Disturb, and people are disturbing. So I got so mad to get a text right now. Anyway, I was just kind of wondering if it was 2006 technology, but I don't even think that's what it was. Like, y'all just were lazy, no. And you thought I wasn't looking.
Yeah, like, they probably actually went through the whole ultrasound with her, but she clearly wasn't pregnant, so they just left the screen the way it really was.
They childish. So after the appointment, Liberty tells JT that the adoption agency will be happy to hear that the baby is healthy. Dang, my back hurts. I'm over here hunched over. Did you see that video of me with the stroller yesterday?
Yes, girl. That's why, okay. Your back hurt.
Liberty decides that she will agree to adoptions because it's what JT wants. But what the hell does Liberty want? Do we ever find out?
She don't know.
Like, did you want to keep the baby, girl? Because you're not acting like it.
Right. You're acting like you want absolutely nothing to do with this pregnancy because you haven't told anyone, you haven't done anything about it, but you're going to do something because JT wants to? Girl.
Right. So I guess we find out that she does think they could raise a baby if they wanted to.
Where?
She tells JT that since she loves him, she'll do whatever he wants to do, which is a terrible reason to place a baby for adoption.
Hmm.
Like, I think you should do what you want to do and not because somebody else wants you to do. I know a lot of parents will put the pressure on their kids, but if anyone's going to pressure you, let it be the people who are giving you free room and board. They shouldn't, right. But let it be them, not your baby daddy.
Girl, that's the thing. And it's just like, I feel like they ended up back together suddenly out of pity or honestly out of like manipulation. Cause it's like, oh, we might as well be together cause we're gonna keep this baby now. But it's like,
girl,
why?
Liberty was like, we could do it, but I'll do it because I love you and that's what you want. And JT is like, well, we'll keep the baby. Like, it's a fucking stray dog.
Right. You literally were not talking 2 days ago.
He's what like, sense? I want to do this for you, which is also poor justification for keeping a baby. Like, I understand that we may be on two sides of the spectrum, but mm-hmm. the way to reach the same conclusion and agree on something should be because we consider what we really want, and we've been like, okay, well, I really want to keep the baby, and here are my reasons, mm-hmm. and you really want to not, and here are your reasons, and, well, we can either do one or the other. I mean, I guess you could relinquish your rights. I don't know. Basically, it's just saying their reasons for keeping the baby did not make any sense. No. And they were terrible.
Yeah. And they just, and out of all of that, they were like, yeah, let's just get back together. Like, okay. That solves everything.
The next morning, Liberty and JT's delusional asses tell us grandmother about her pregnancy. They say they're delusional because I feel like they started this off with being like, we have great news.
Delusional. Okay, I love that you brought that up because I made a note of that word specifically. Y'all are waltzing up in her house hyped up on delusion. Like, what are you talking about?
Now, I will say that my mother has always said, because I love to bring in my mother's quotes, a baby is always a blessing. But I have reservations on this particular baby. Is this the blessing that y'all think it is?
Girl. What threw me is the fact that they told her and they weren't sitting down. Like, that is so unsettling to me. Like, you just thought you were going to spring that on her without having a real conversation?
Child. And, like, I just want to say that I feel like Liberty and JT are, like, two intelligent teens to a certain degree. I don't think JT is a complete doofus. Mm-hmm. He's obviously working. He's hardworking. Liberty is super smart as well. And I think that if they had the appropriate and adequate support that they could have done it. Like, it's not like they're huge partiers or anything. They were pretty responsible, I guess, but it doesn't really make sense how delusional they are.
Right. Yes, like they're really in la la land, because again, he got a job and he was very proactive in that, and Liberty is super smart and we know that, but what's going on here? Because there's a few screws that are loose right now.
Right. We have great news. I was just like, if my child ever sits in my face at 15 and tells me that it is great news that she's having a baby, we're gonna have to fight over that adjective alone. That's it.
Could you imagine not only being told that, but being told they are 6 months?
Like, and I feel like I have demonstrated enough that I'm not going to be the one to be like, bitch, you better go to the clinic. What you going to do? You better get out my house. I'm going to throw you down the stairs. Like, I'm not that type of person. Right. But at the same time, this is not great news. It's yes. not.
The nerve it's of not. You. Define great.
Like, the least you could do is say that I have news that you absolutely could use. I'm Don't. Bringing a baby in the house.
You need to know this, actually.
Like, in a couple of months, I'm not going to be able to go to school because I'm going to be home taking care of a baby. I don't know, something. There was a better way for us to say,
yes.
My girlfriend is pregnant and she's keeping it. So grandma tells A.S., y'all better be for real and get out of my house. I raised your mama and I raised you, and I'm not doing it a third time. So you mm-hmm. better put that baby in the adoption bin. And JT is like, we love each other. And that is all that matters. Grandma says, that's cute, cool, but I'm not doing it. You're going to be a deadbeat daddy just like your daddy. She did not have to do him like that.
She read them. But does he have a deadbeat mom? Where's the mom at?
Right, two deadbeats. And she said, I'm not doing it again. I've raised enough deadbeats around here. I'm not doing it again.
I'm about to be my third.
So now it's time for JT and Liberty to tell her parents, and she's worried that they will kick her out. But what were you planning on doing? Were you just going to bring a baby home to the man that will kick you out? Hmm. What was the plan here, Liberty? Were you just going to be like, surprise, I found this outside? Like, let us know. I don't know. It's just so hard. I don't know how my friend works with them.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I had a friend working with high schoolers, and they had one of their students wanted to stay with their girlfriend, who was, I don't know how many years younger than them in high school. So they wanted to intentionally fail so they would be held back so they could stay with their
girls. Yep, that sounds about right. That sounds about some shit your brain would come up with as a teenager.
Like, I don't understand. Why? Why is the brain like this at that age? It hurts.
Delusional. It's nuts.
Okay. More in part, back to the episode. It's just really difficult to watch. So JT tells Liberty, we can get our own place with the baby. So honestly, I guess for what it's worth, it's very accurate.
Yeah.
They're spot on. It's hard to watch as an adult, but it is spot on because some teens do be this like, we can just get our own place, we'll pay our rent, and then they realize, oh my God, bills are expensive. What are we going to do? Which is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So Liberty will use the money from the spelling bee instead of telling her parents they're going to get a place. And so they're going to have difficulty finding someone who will rent to them, but they're going to do it. So JT's working long hours at the pharmacy, and he realizes that supporting a baby is going to be expensive because he's looking at the cost of diapers, and he's like, oh my God, I don't even know how much they cost.
Girl.
I think it's like $44 for 200.
Because did you see the total of the stuff? It was like $212. And again, this is 2005. When the minimum wage in Canada was allegedly between $6.85 and $7.45.
Girl.
And he was about to take care of a baby, be in school, take care of a baby mama, and an apartment. Y'all are
like,
nuts.
How? What are you doing? But, they literally be like, I'm just going to go get a job, and I'll have tons of money. So, if anything, it's accurate. Was it me? No.
Right,
but
right.
Was it someone? Yes.
Yep.
After several no's on apartment applications, JT and Liberty finally find someone who will rent to them, but JT realizes that they cannot afford it. Liberty was super excited to do laundry, says no one ever. I'm washing laundry now and I'm mad about it.
It's the worst.
And it's never ending. Like, girl, anyway, the next day JT is at work and Jay is back to being the devil in his ear. Jay is upset that someone else is doing the TV show, but why is Jay watching the TV show?
Girl, why does he have nothing? I know why he has nothing but time, but you watching this TV show, you watching JT and his schedule, what are you doing?
Nothing. I guess he don't have school.
Girl, he ain't got nothing to do, but dang.
Girl, JT tells Jay that he doesn't get paid enough to stop him from stealing, which I thought was really funny, because I think a lot of employees are really leaning in that direction. I mean, I think they also have like no chase rules now at a lot of companies. But yeah, it's also, I didn't see anything. Y'all do not pay me enough to stop theft. You don't.
Mm-mm.
So I relate to this. A lot of times, sometimes working, I'll find kids will tell me things about like their commutes to school, and they're supposed to live in the neighborhood. So they're like, yeah, it takes like an hour to get to school. And that's always a red flag. And I'm like, you know what y'all don't pay me to do? Figure out who lives in our attendance area.
Yeah. Let these children go to school.
Right. I'm like, but they're here today. And so that's what matters. And if anything, I will call that student counselor privilege or something. Whatever. If y'all want to tell my boss, go ahead. Anyway, back to Degrassi. I get so distracted recapping these long ass episodes. Jay zeroes in on JT's niece and he tells him, look, if you need money, I can help you out. Jay tells JT that JT has access to Oxy and he could get it and sell it. Desperate for money, JT goes for it, and he steals some Oxy from behind the counter. Part one of the episode ends. And we're back for episode two, B-plot. Baby Jack finally makes an appearance, and I guess he hasn't been sleeping well due to a cold. Snake bikes to school, only to see Joey dropping Craig off with his hot young girlfriend in a red convertible. Joey encourages Snake to hop in for a ride around the block and be spontaneous. Snake tells Joey that his life is spontaneous. In his life, spontaneous is a four-letter word. What is the four-letter word?
What's the four-letter word? No, like, for real. Because I've been trying to figure it out. I didn't try to figure it out hard enough to Google it, but I'm like, what is it? Am I supposed to know this metaphor?
If you know which four-letter word is for spontaneous, I assume it's because he's boring.
Mm-hmm. Is it safe? S-A-F-E. Safe.
I need to know because I didn't know. Anyway, we'll never know what that word is unless you guys know. Snake runs off and he gets a motorcycle, and Miss H makes it clear that she's also into motorcycles. At dinner that evening, Manny calls out Snake for his arrival to school on the motorcycle. She definitely dry snitches on him, and Spike had no idea. Spike is pissed. He's like, you did what? We don't have money for that. Snake wonders aloud if she should be worried about Snake's recent fascination with the motorcycle, and Snake tells her it's not that at all, but he's tired of the routine and the monotony. Snake tells Miss Ace that he's returning the bike because Spike had a problem with it. Miss Ace shares that her ex had a choice between her and his intern, and he picked his intern. But I don't think it had any, like, did that fit? Did that fit into the conversation?
Girl.
I was like, what an odd thing to share with your subordinate. I guess they used to be colleagues, so they probably used to talk in the staff room lounge.
That makes sense. That,
but like it was still odd. Okay. All right, Miss H. She tells Snake that she used to love her motorcycles and she was gonna ask him for a ride. They share a flirty smile. HR? Hello? Just kidding, HR sucks.
I'm so genuinely confused about the conversation.
You guys can write an angry letter to my mother's Wi-Fi company. Anyway. So, this is the inspiration that Snake needed to go forward and buy the bike. End of plot B. Let's go on to plot A. The real meat of the episode. JT meets Jay in a shady alley to deliver the drugs. He mildly starts to chicken out and change the subject, but Jay knows what's up. He's there to meet Jay's 40-year-old drug-dealing friend. The man gives JT $800, but JT says, I need more. He gets an advance, $400, toward his next score. Jay congratulates JT on his first drug deal, and overridden with guilt, JT vomits immediately after. Great news, though. JT, yes?
I think that's just so funny that he threw up after, like, wow. I've never done a drug deal, so I don't know how it will feel, but throwing up just seems very amateur.
Yep. Oh, JT. So he now has enough money, though, for the apartment, and Liberty is surprised to hear that he got them the apartment. JT lies and tells her that his grandma loaned it to him. They tell Liberty's parents about their plans, and Liberty's mom all but falls out. It's actually a really hilarious scene, if not for the seriousness of the issue, because her mom was like, ah! And her dad is like, ha! Ah! And it is exactly how I would expect some parents to react. So they look exactly how I feel hearing Liberty try to tell them that they will take care of everything.
Dad, please say something.
What would you like me to say? That I'm happy? That I'm proud of you?
It's not a great response. But if anything, it's realistic.
Mm-hmm. They said, be for real, girl. And again, y'all are standing up telling them this information. Like, be so for real.
Like, you didn't fix your response after JT's grandma?
At all,
or your
girl.
Delivery?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they should be, not rewarded, but we should acknowledge that they did try to take initiative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, JT still gets at the job. It's like, okay, you're probably going to kick me out. Don't worry. We're going to go. We're going to get this apartment. We're going to take care of everything. They were just really unrealistic.
Yeah, because they did come after trying to figure some stuff out. Not a lot of it. Most of it was JT, but they did come with, like, instead of being like, hey, we're pregnant, what do we do? So.
Right. So I give them their credit where it's due. Anyway. Her dad blames JT for Liberty becoming pregnant, and he's kind of right, because JT was the one who insisted on the large condoms, knowing good and well they did not fit. But, like, two to tango, I get it. Anyway, mm-hmm. And if JT's grandma blamed Liberty, I think we would have called them out as well. It wasn't really fair.
Yeah, and again, little does he know, JT's actually been the one doing the most in this relationship when it comes to this pregnancy right now.
Right. But Liberty's parents surprise her, and they tell her, we would like for you to stay at home so we can support you through this pregnancy and under the conditions, but JT can't ever come around again. Which I think they're wrong for kind of giving her an ultimatum, but, like...
Right.
I wouldn't have left the comfort of my mama's home if I had gotten pregnant at 16 and she was like, you can stay here, but your man gotta go. You're gonna pick James Tiberius Broke York over your parents' home.
Right.
Make it make sense. And I know a lot of people do pick their boyfriend, but I'm just letting you know, if you're listening to this and you're pregnant and you're considering, should I leave my parents' home to be with my boyfriend, or should I stay at my parents' home? If your home is loving, supportive, and, you know, what you need, don't leave that house. Dumb.
Right.
Dumb.
Yeah, even trying to leave the house at, like, 15, again, it's not what it's cracked up to be, unless you're in a situation where you really have to do it.
Not at all. So Liberty and JT are catching up at work, where he's supposed to be working, and his boss tells him that the oxycodone count was off the other day. JT looks guilty as fuck in his response, and Liberty is like, I know you stole that oxy. I know I shouldn't have been laughing that hard, but JT tells Liberty that he thought it was a good idea. And Liberty is just like,
you stupid, thoughtless imbecile! You will destroy everything!
Ow, stop!
I know it's not okay to ever hit anyone, but JT stays being stupid because he's like, I'm going to get the money and I'm going to buy the drugs back from the dealer so he can give them back to the pharmacy. You thought you were going to... The pills had been snorted.
Right. What do you think they do with them? Fucking put them in their drug cabinet for later? Like, no, they sell them or use it.
Could you imagine going to the pharmacy to get oxy, which had been sold and sold back? That stuff has fentanyl in it now.
Yeah. Oh, my.
If it still exists, which it doesn't. Someone has used the drug. Like,
you think people sit on drugs all day?
I need you to not be this stupid. I need it.
Instead of just being like, I'm not going to do it again, or I have to, whatever, because he got an advance, I got to give this last bit, but that's all I could do. You think you're going to go get it back from him? Okay.
Right. I'm going to get more money and buy them back of the money that I don't have. Anyway, so Liberty, this is what I'm saying, that you should have stayed home with your parents. Because when JT goes to ask Toby for money, and Toby's like, I don't have money. The security deposit was also non-refundable, so he can't get that back either. Damn. So he pulls Toby out of his chair to desperately demand help. Toby laughs him off, but ultimately tells JT that you need to go. And JT has the nerve to tell Toby that this is why he don't have any friends. And see, I told y'all I don't like his ass.
Yeah, no. He's very conditional with Toby.
Jay finds JT later that day, and he tells him,
I cut you some slack, stock boy, but I am running low on patience.
Oh, that makes you a pretty bad doctor then, doesn't it?
That was pretty clever, so I will give JT and the writers credit for that joke. Jay does not have the time, and he threatens JT right before the drug dealer punches JT in response to JT asking for the drugs back.
I run the show, and I don't want my money back. I want more drugs.
Who hired this actor?
It was so over the top and dramatic, because it's like, yes, that was a ridiculous ask, but is that really, like... It was just really, it was really hard to watch and not laugh.
Yeah, no, it's very cringe. It is.
JT little white ass threatens to go to the cops and is reminded that he played part in the crime, which, again, I've said it 1,000 times, there is no quality control in street drugs, so when you have issues doing illegal things, you cannot contact the police, because guess what? You were doing something illegal.
They're gonna get your ass too, if not first, and then only you, so.
Could you imagine, the drug dealer who I've dealt money to, he's telling me he wants more, and I don't want to give him more, so he threatened me. I'm sorry, did you just admit to stealing? Like, what?
Right.
Where do you think this is going, little boy? JT is such a bad criminal.
Right.
So he realizes that his only option is to steal more oxy from his job, placing his job at risk. His boss is like, it's definitely you, because he's a really bad criminal. And the next day, JT tells Liberty that he had to steal again, because otherwise the drug dealer would kill him. And she's like, you a dumb bitch. And she walks away from him, and she tells him that he's changed to a bad person. And he is terrible, because, like, if anything, how he treats Toby.
Yeah. No, that's true. Because Toby couldn't do anything for him that he got himself into.
Like, I'm not even mad at him for stealing drugs and selling them. That's not why I'm mad. I'm really mad at him for being stupid about being like, I'll pay the drugs back. I'll call the police. Toby, you don't have any friends. That's why I'm mad at him.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And look, I'm not condoning it, but again, JT in this scenario, for the most part, was doing what he had to do to try to provide for his family. But he got caught up real quick in just being delusional about the whole thing. Like, he definitely bit off more he could chew, because now you got to keep stealing. And why did you not think that they weren't gonna, like, listening to Jay is crazy, because why do you think they wouldn't count the oxycodone if it's such a strong pill?
Sir, we needed to know. Come on, controlled medications. I don't know. Do people just not know this?
Right.
You can't steal Adderalls. You can't steal oxys. I have a friend who's always having a hard time getting her ADHD medication, because she's like, they keep saying this, that, and the third. I gotta wait. Yeah. I gotta do this.
Like, they think you're abusing it. Right.
Easy. I had enough trouble getting something after a whole C-section.
That's crazy.
Like, they were like, you can have 7. Honestly, I only took like one, so it wasn't a big deal. But still, they guard those things.
Yes.
Okay? I don't know what JT thought he was doing.
Listening to Jay.
See? So JT goes to deal the drugs to the dealer, and he gets his ass kicked anyway, as he probably should have. I feel like we often talk about how Jay is an asshole, and all of a sudden, in a couple of seasons, like, we're just encouraged to forget about his past. And he is an asshole. Because, like, he is the middleman between drug deals, and he is still stealing, and he says something pretty terrible in a couple minutes. But, yeah. In this moment, I want to acknowledge his growth, because...
You got me into this.
Yeah, and I just saved your butt. Or were you two guys gonna kiss? Not that it's any of my business what team you play for.
Look at him. Y'all know he started as a homophobic person.
Yes.
Remember he went up to Paige's brother and he was like Homo Chuck, which I don't... That doesn't really combine well with Michael Chuck, but not the point.
Yeah.
The point is, look, he said it's not his business what team he plays for. So, look at that growth.
He realized it finally.
So, I'm trying to figure out why JT dropped the pills in that way onto the dealer. It's almost like he wanted to die, which I guess we do find out that he does. And in this moment, I realized that I needed to add the content warning to the episode. But anyway, JT pulled out some pills out of his pocket, which was a piss poor idea because why didn't he sell those too?
Okay.
JT is on the verge of crying to JT about how he lost his job, his best friend, his girlfriend. He's at risk for going to jail. And I say that Jay may have evolved in the last second, but then he proves that he's still the devil on everyone's shoulder because he's like...
Hey, bummer times. At least there's a party.
He is a menace.
Bummer a times.
JT then dry swallows all of the remaining oxy in his hand, which is amazing to me because I have a hard enough time taking my one singular pill once every night. Also, I believe this is like, man, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think everyone was carrying Narcan on them.
Right.
Like hand sanitizer, so it was not a promising decision for the future. And in all seriousness, JT is having a very difficult time to where one bad choice just seems to snowball into another in an avalanche, and he's clearly getting crushed without any positive support system. And this could have gone very differently if his grandmother and or Liberty's parents responded differently, so I get why they're mad, but if people had been more supportive, imagine how differently the outcomes would have been. Like, what if they were just like, hey, we'll support you. Mm-hmm. This is a bit bad choice. Bitch, you need to get on birth control because this isn't happening again. But, like, what do we need to do?
Yeah. If they provided more information or anything aside from just judgment.
And I'm trying to think if we've seen a storyline like that. I feel like Mia's mom helped her with her baby a little bit, but not much. Like, it was her child as it is. But if Degrassi ever returns and they have a teen mom, it would be nice to see them have the support that they need from a loving home. Because that makes you think of Chelsea from Teen Mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
She had loving, supportive parents. And, I mean, I can only judge her life through Instagram, but it does seem like she, on Instagram at least, is doing okay for herself. So, compare it to a lot of her co-stars who are like, wow, look at what happens when you have parents who are not loving and supportive. And look at what happens when you do.
Yeah. Now she has several children, too. So she literally right. is in a place to literally, like, enjoy that and right. take care of them. But she really was better off in comparison to a lot of the girls. Like, her biggest issue was that man.
Yep.
Which is normally the case, ain't it?
Yep. I mean, I know everyone always talks shit about everyone, so I'm sure someone could come in and be like, actually, Chelsea, it's fine. I don't really give a shit. I'm just saying, you compare Chelsea to Janelle,
yes.
two different outcomes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that one of the reasons is due to familial support and a health stable environment. Anyway, and we saw that play out with poor JT and Liberty. It's like he was pushed into a corner, and he's like really just trying to do the best he can to stay afloat.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the next time we see JT, he is very clearly out of it. He pours beer on his head. He passes out. He ends up in the hospital. And Liberty's parents helped to save JT from his employer pressing charges, which I think was kind of them, all things considered. Liberty visits with JT in the hospital, and she comes at him crazy when she finds out what he tried to do. Odd. Like, girl, he's literally sitting there crying in bed, and she's like, but what about me?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Liberty decides that adoption is the best option for their child, and the episode ends.
Girl, a roller coaster. So are we happy or are we sad about this at this point? Because you just tried to unalive yourself and you expect me to now be like, yes, we need to bring a kid into this. Like, it's obviously too much for you. What a roller coaster.
I don't even know what I would give them. Moral, don't sell drugs. Adopt, don't shop.
Adopt, don't shop.
I don't even know.
Mine is be fucking for real. Like, please be so for real, because they were so delusional.
They really be out here like this.
That is crazy.
Well,
I got nothing else.
I got nothing else either.
It was a ride. It was an adventure.
It really was. And I can't see the amount of time we've been recording, but I'm sure it's been...
I think it's been about an hour at this point.
Yeah.
I guess I think it kind of sucks that a lot of what we see, again, back to the criticisms about, like, Liberty having a whole baby in the background, this... She finally gets an A-plot episode, but the episode is predominantly about JT.
Yeah. JT is the one stealing it with the job and stuff.
It's about how her pregnancy affects him. And actually, I really actually love showing how this impacts an active and present father. I'm not denying it, because when someone gets pregnant, it does affect two people. But it sucks that, if anything, if this were a two-part episode, maybe Liberty half, JT half, you know?
Yes. Absolutely. Why did we need a B plot about Mr. Simpson and a motorcycle and what it looks like to me about to cheat with Miss H? So why do we need that right now?
Exactly. So I would have loved to have seen more on Liberty. I don't want to take anything away from JT and his storyline, because I think it's really important to show how this affects potential dads and dads and the like, because they be parents too. And y'all know I don't care about men, so I think that's a lot coming from me.
But she said, don't get it twisted this episode.
Yeah,
no, that's actually a good point. I think we could have fully did a two-part, one part about Liberty's side and one part about JT's, and then they would have intertwined perfectly.
So, I hope I'm not giving any of these people good ideas, because I think we're Team Strike over here. So don't steal our writing content. Yeah.
That's true, actually.
We're not trying to give y'all ideas out here. In fact, scratch all that. We didn't say that. Nan. Anyway. Next on Degrassi. While helping his new friend, Tim, Marco faces his own reality and contemplates coming out to his father. Meanwhile, Emma likes the attention Peter gives her, even though she knows it would hurt Manny. That wraps this week's episode of Below the Dot Podcast. If you enjoyed your listen, please tell a friend to tell a friend. To hold you over between episodes, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok under some derivative of the username Below the Dot. That was a lot. Feel free to reach out with any questions, comments, or concerns on either of our social media accounts, or email us at whateverittakes385@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back this time next week, whatever it takes.